Hallelujah. Today, scripture reading is Numbers 12, verse 1 to 16, and the title is Moses' Redemptive Reason for Taking the Cushite Woman, the part 1. I'd like to read the Numbers, number 12, verse 1 to 16. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Had the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses, has he not spoken through us as well?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, "You three come out to the tent of meeting." So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam. When they had both come forward, he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark saying, and behold the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the crowd had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. As Aaron turned toward Miriam, behold, she was leprous. Then Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, I beg you, do not account this sign to us in which we have acted foolishly and in which we have sinned. Oh, do not let her be like one dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes from his mother's womb." And Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "Oh God, hear her, I pray." But the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, would she not bear her shame for 7 days? Let her be shut up for 7 days outside the camp, and afterward she may be received again." So Miriam was shut up outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move until Miriam was received again. Afterward, however, the people moved out from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. This is word of God. The setting for today's passage is at the Hazeroth, the 13th campsite of Israel, about the year after the Exodus. What shocked us is that Moses has taken a Cushite woman who is not named. This because the cause for Aaron and Miriam to resent and slander Moses. The fact that the leader of Israel, Moses, was slandered and opposed by his closest brothers and sisters is undoubtedly one of the most serious issues during their journey through the wilderness toward Canaan. In this great feud between the siblings, God intervened, and Moses was not found to be at fault. But Miriam and Aaron, the slanderers, were found to be guilty, which we will talk about next time. But now, we'll focus on the question at hand: why did Moses take the Cushite woman? The word too, here is a Hebrew, is a rakah, which means to take into one's hand, to take as a wife. It is the word used when God took Enoch in the Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, and Eliah Then the second king is chapter 3, verse 16, and took them to heaven. And also when Isaac took the Rebekah to be his wife, Genesis chapter 25, verse 20, and when Isaac told Jacob to take the Laban's daughter to be his wife, in Genesis chapter 28, verse 2. Today, Moses has taken a Cushite woman in addition to his wife, Sephora. Some arguing that it is impossible for the fathers of the law to take a foreigner woman like a Cushite as his wife, claim that the Cushite woman refers to Sephora. However, this reasoning is flawed. It does not make sense to say that he married Sephora again 40 years after he had already married her and had two sons with her. Some also say that the Cushite woman was the second wife taken by Sephora after her death. This is also incorrect. The Bible tells us that the Zithro, the Moses' father-in-law, met the Moses and Levitim, the tents, the campsite in the wilderness with the Sephora and their two sons. You can find out the Exodus chapter 18, verse 2-3. Now this was more than 2 months after Exodus, about 2 months. And the place where the Moses took the woman of Cush today is Hazar, the 13th place where he encamped. We can see that it took about a year to get from the mountain Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, the Sinai wilderness to Rima, is March 1446 BC to February 20th, to 1445 BC. This is because they arrived from the mountain Sinai, stayed for about a year, received the Torah, and erected the tabernacles. In other words, there is only about a year between the Moses meeting Sephora at Lephidim and taking the Cushite woman as his wife at Hazar. This would be possible if the Sephora had died in the interim, but the Bible doesn't say when Sephora died also. Also, if the Sephora had taken the Cushite woman as a second wife, she would have been mentioned, as was the case with the Kudra, the second wife Abram, took after Sarah's death. Moses would then have taken the Cushite woman as his wife, even though his wife Sephora would still arrive. Did you know that the Miriam and Aaron is a condemned Moses, the father of the law, for marrying a Gentile woman barely a year after received the law? In fact, this wasn't the first time that Moses had taken a Gentile woman. The Sephora was a daughter of the Zithro, a Midianite priest. Although the Bible described him as a priest, he was not a priest in the Aaronic line, but rather a descendant of Midian, one of the descendants of Abraham's second wife, Keturah. The Bible doesn't say specifically why God told Moses to take a Cushite woman as his wife, but we can look at the place name and the name of the Cush in the Bible to see what redemptive content God has for them. In the Bible, Cush appears first as the name of a place before a name as a person. It says that the Kishon River, the second of the four rivers of Eden, flowed through all the land of Cush. Let's look at the Genesis chapter 2, verse 13, and the name of the second river is Kihon. It flows around the whole land of Cush. Cush is Hebrew, is Cush, which means is black. The Bible also refers to the Cush is in several places as the southeastern region of Egypt, which includes present-day Ethiopia. Most notably in the Bible, the Kush becomes a representative nation along with Egypt that is a target for God's judgment. You can see that Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 4 to 5, especially Ezekiel 29, verse 10, and he is a God against you and against your rivers in the Kush. God is even the saying that the sin of Kush is irreversible, and that he will eventually make it disappear like a spark before him. In the Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23 to 24. As we know, Cush is the name of a person, the eldest son of the Ham, who saw Noah's nakedness. You can see the Genesis chapter 10, verse 6. He is also the father of Nimrod, a shadow figure of the Antichrist. You can find out Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. Additionally, his brother, Mizraim, became the ancestor of the Egyptians. They are among those who received the curse from Noah, becoming the servant of a servant to the descendant of Noah's brothers. You can see that Genesis chapter 9, verse 25. With such a background, it is legally and by common sense impossible for Moses, the father of the law, to take the woman from Cush. And that is why Miriam and Aaron slandered Moses by calling him a man of the law. Even if Moses had a mission to lead Israel, if he violated any of the laws, he would be immediately rebuked by God. As we know, Moses violated the command to bring forth water from the rock at the Mount Sinai and struck the rock twice, that is the Meribah, and struck the rock twice with his staff, therefore he could not enter the land of Canaan. You can find out the Numbers chapter 20. When Moses took a woman of Cush as his wife, he did not do so of his own accord because he was unable to overcome his carnal lust. We can see that the Moses taking of the Cushite woman was entirely because God directed him to do so by examining the content of Miriam's surrender. I like to read is Numbers 12, verse 2. And they say, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? And the Lord heard it. This suggests that there is something missing between the Numbers 12, verse 1 and 2. In verse 1, when Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses, Moses replied that he did what God told him to do. Miriam became enraged at Moses' reply and said in verse 2, not only has God spoken to you, but he has also spoken to us. In short, she was telling Moses not to lie, for we have never heard from the God that you, Moses, would marry a Cushite woman. In fact, Miriam, the prophetess, and Aaron, the priest, had received the revelation from God, so God intervenes in the Numbers 12, verse 6 to and 8. We read that. He said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. And verse 8, with him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly. The him is the Moses. even openly and not in dark, saying, and he behold the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? In a word, Moses was not spoken to in vision and in dream, but Moses was in a position to hear and know the Father clearly. In taking the Cushite woman as his wife, God was not speaking in a dream or dark or vision, but in a clear, face-to-face, unambiguous command to Moses. And God was speaking to Moses to reveal to him what kind of spiritual position he was in and how close he was to him. To Miriam and Aaron he spoke in visions and dreams, but to Moses he spoke clearly, face to face, without ambiguities. If Moses took the Cushite woman as God's command, then the question of why he did so became even more curious, and we must look at the timing of his taking her as his wife. Before coming to Hazara, we must remember that the Israelites had rebelled against God in a major way at Gibeah Hatava. He gave the law and the tabernacle on Mount Sinai, made the Ark of the Covenant, stood before the people of Israel, and led them with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. But at Tavera, please remember that this place, Tavera, the people complained so much against God that fire came down from heaven and consumed the very end of the Israelite camp. You can see the Numbers chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. In short, they were judged by fire. The end of the camp referred to the group that fell out of the marching order and was left behind. The end of Israel's marching line would be the tribe of Dan, and that the location of the mixed multitude and the multitude that were not of the 12 tribes. You can see the Exodus chapter 12, verse 38. They had experienced the fire of God's wrath and judgment at the Tavera, but they did not turn back, but continue to grumble. They immediately grew tired of eating the manna that God had provided for them for a year, and demanded meat, complaining, testing, offering, and laughing at God. You can see that the Numbers 11, verse 4 and 20. So is God provide the meat. That is But before the meat was even chewed between their teeth, God struck the Israelites with a terrible plague, and he named the place Gibeah Hatava, which means the grave of covetousness and the end of greed. They were the Gentiles who incited the Israelites to sin. The same is true of the church today. There are those who attend church but do not participate in God's will, who are not committed, who complain behind the scenes, and who mislead the saint. However, the Bible tells us that not all people of the mixed multitude are subject to judgment. God forbade the Canaanite to intermarry with the Gentile because he did not want them to adopt their ideas and beliefs and turn away from God and worship idols, which would eventually bring them into a place of judgment with God. You can see that Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3 to 4. But if a stranger, that is a foreigner, believes in God and serves him, God accepts their sacrifice and consider them equally God's peoples. You can find out the Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33 to 34. When we circumcised Abram, we met the strange who sojourned with him do the same. You can see that the Genesis chapter 17, verse 26, 27, and I like to read the 27, and all the men of his household who were born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. In other words, God made the circumcised Gentile his covenant peoples. And when Sipporah, father, the priest of the Midianite, is offered the sacrifice and the burnt offering to God, God accepted his sacrifice and he ate them before God. You can find out at the Exodus chapter 18, verse 12. And God gave permission to the Gentile who wanted to keep God's feast, and all the blessings were the same for Israelite and the Gentile alike. You can see that the Numbers 9:14 and Isaiah chapter 56, verse 3. Just I like to read the Isaiah chapter 56, verse 3. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his peoples. Right? For God accepts all who love and serve him, even though they may be Gentiles. Rahab, a Jericho prostitute, not only had no problem marrying Salmon, but she is in the genealogy of Genesis. And Ruth, a Moabite, married Boaz and became part of the genealogy of David. You can see that in Matthew chapter 1. It was not because they had no choice but to follow the Israelites. Because they truly saw God at work, God embraced the Gentiles who came out to serve him and proclaimed that he was God to them as well. In Romans chapter 3, verse 29, God clearly talked to us, or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentile also? Yes, of Gentile also. Amen. God treated the Gentiles who sought him as inwardly Jews, making them his people. We can see that such an event occurred in various places throughout the Old Testament. In the days of King Solomon, the queen of Sheba, the Sheba is the son of Cush, a certain nations came to hear God's words of wisdom. You can find out the 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. This shows that the God's heart is not for the weak to die, but for them to repent and return to him. Let's look at the Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Declared the Lord God, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live. This is how God's love and mercy led him to prophesy that Cush and Egypt, the height of the weakness in the Old Testament, would come to him with their offering, and he would accept their sacrifice and allow them to dwell in his holy mountain. You can see that the Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. In the New Testament, a messenger from the Candace, the queen of the Cush, traveling to Jerusalem on pilgrimage, met Philip. Philip received Jesus and was baptized in Jesus' name. You can see the Acts chapter 8, verse 27 to 39. Today, the marriage of Moses and the Cushite woman is a foreshadowing of how Jesus can take the whole human race, who have been sinners since the fall of Adam, and turn them into pure bride by washing away any sin. We fallen human beings cannot solve the problem of sin. So God is inviting us to come now to the place of cleansing. Let's look at the Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. And the words of let us reason together are not meant to be a rebuke to Israel's fault, and rather a word of salvation, that no matter how sinful the nation of Israel may have been, God wants us to see that He has a heart to forgive those who return to Him. This is because through faith in Jesus, by the Spirit of Jesus, we are brought out from our sin as white as snow. You can see that the Psalm 51 verse 7 and Isaiah chapter 4 verse 4. The Apostle Paul cries out to the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 2, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one, the husband, and to Christ I my present you as a pure virgins." That is what we are to be, the woman, the Shulamite, the woman, the goose, whom Solomon loved. Let's look at the Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 5. "I am black, but lovely, O daughter of Jerusalem, like the tent of Gedor, like the curtains of Solomon." Amen. As we receive the Spirit of Jesus, as the life of Jesus overflows in us, may there be precious work among us as the Gihon River in the Garden of Eden flowed through the Cush, so that all darkness and evil is dispelled and right and love surge forth. Amen.